Well, for more on the developing situation, we're speaking this morning with Professor Christopher Lam, and he's the president of the Australia-Myanmar Institute and also a former Australian ambassador to Myanmar. Professor Lam, thank you for joining us this morning on what is turning out to be a huge story in Asia this morning. Still sort of more questions than answers at this stage, but I don't know how much you heard from our reporter saying that, you know, communications has pretty much been shut off in terms of the telco. Broadband is rather slow. TV networks have been shut off. And he said people in Myanmar are waking up to this news. Are they really going to be able to find out what the news is on the ground? Is there going to be a lot of confusion? I mean, you've been the ambassador to Myanmar before, so you have a very close understanding of the intricacies within that nation. What do you think is going to happen today?
Well, thanks very much. I'd say, first of all, that the difficulties are very different from those when I was there between 1986 and 1989, which is when the military took over, well, in fact, took over from itself, I guess you could say. At that time, that was before the internet, the people in Myanmar have got a well-understood way of communicating with each other, with or without official media. And I guess by that I include things like the internet. For example, it's possible now, and I know from some of my friends there that this is being used, that they're using Bluetooth technology and other systems that enable telephones or phones to connect with each other without needing to go to the wider internet to do that, which means that information is not spread quite as widely as it might have been, but it's there. And there is messaging coming out of the country now about what's going on, but it's very inconclusive. It's early days, as your reporter has already said. So we have to wait and see what happens, but it does seem clear that Aung San Suu Kyi and the president have both been detained. In what circumstances, it's difficult to tell. And it's also difficult to tell where they might go from that. If the military are serious and say that what's happened is that there are election irregularities that they cannot ignore, they will have to show the people of Myanmar why that is so, why that overrides the conclusion of the Election Commission and all the observers who were present, which include a lot of Myanmar observers present during the election. And it's a question yet to be answered, to what extent will the military attempt to justify what they've done? And if they don't justify it, what will that lead to? I imagine it would be a serious blow to foreign investment in the country. It would raise questions about the views of other countries and neighbouring countries, including China, as to what has happened, because after all, the Chinese foreign minister visited Myanmar very recently, and he saw Aung San Suu Kyi and General Min Aung Hlaing and other leaders in the country while he was there. And the widespread assumption from those discussions was that the Chinese foreign minister said this country should continue to proceed on its path, which means that the elections need to be respected. So how the military are going to handle this, I don't know. And the other thing that comes to my mind is what will be the views within the military? There would be, and this is based on the experience from 1988, there would be plenty of people inside the military who would not think this was a good idea, or they would look for reasons why it should be seen as a good idea. And there's nothing so far coming out of the military that even attempt to answer that question as to what this is all about and why. So I'd need a bit more time, and what I'm doing, and I've got a lot of messaging myself from members of our Australia-Myanmar Institute and other people we know about the situation and what do I think will happen, what whereabouts is it going to go, and I'd be reluctant to give many answers to that. But I would say that as recently as Saturday, I was telling my friends that I didn't think there would be a coup, and my prediction was that there would not be one because it wasn't really in anybody's interest, including in the army, to have a coup at this stage. So how they're going to overcome all the negatives that led to where we are now is really difficult to say. So I'll be watching that very carefully, and I'm very grateful to media agencies like CNA for what they report on this, because you bring us very good, solid gold reporting from the ground, and that's good to know.
Thank you for that, Professor. Let's unpack that. You shared many insights there. So as an observer, you know, there had been mounting fears in the country that the armed forces might attempt to do what they appear to have done, to seize power, even though just 2 days ago it said it would protect and abide by the Constitution. So does this catch you by surprise?
I thought that all meant that there would not be a coup as such, but there would be an accommodation found between Aung San Suu Kyi and Min Aung Hlaing, which might be an unstable compromise, but at least it would be something that would allow the country to go forward. So I don't know what has happened that has changed that situation, or perhaps I was just wrong all the way along, but I don't think so. I think that the greater likelihood is that there was a wish to find an accommodation, and the fact that that hasn't happened is something which I find quite mysterious. So it takes me back to personalities, and I don't really want to go down a personality track in this interview right now. Maybe next week we can talk about that, but there are personalities involved in this that are not part of what one would see normally as the interest bearers of the either the Tapador or the NLD. So when we understand that better, we might know more about what's led this to happen. The other thing we don't know, and there's no reporting on this yet that I've seen, is what's happened in the ethnic states about this, where there are, as you know, various forms of insurrection or insurgency still running. What are they going to think about this? It's difficult to see how they could get any great pleasure out of this event.
Well, Professor Lam, on that note, I mean, let's go back to the election in November last year, because let's face it, the minorities were completely backed out, were kept out. They were ring-fenced out of that democratic process. So they wouldn't have been happy anyway, right? Because about a million people, I believe, were devoid from taking part in the democratic process. So, of course, they're not going to be happy then, now, anytime. And this is the issue. Is when you go down and you take the path of democracy, albeit in a nascent stage, you can't exactly reverse that process, can you? I mean, what do you think the military is thinking here in terms of what next steps they could stake here? Because, you know, they've already, this is the second election the country has been through. And whether it was legitimate or not, you know, you have to keep to that path, don't you?
Well, I would go so far as to say it's the third election, because although nobody gives much credence to it, the 2010 election did actually be, it was what you could call a free and fair election, but with limited participation. So the people have seen three elections now in which they've been able to go out and cast a vote for their preferred candidate. The results of that haven't proved very strong, but the difficulty in looking at the last election, and you're right, the minority parties didn't do well, but the Tapador did nothing to support the minorities, less even than perhaps the NLD. So where they will go, I don't know. And as for the number of people who didn't get a chance to vote, that's a relatively small number in the greater scheme of things. There are lots of minority areas where people did vote, and they didn't vote for their own ethnic candidates. But the NLD had more ethnic candidates running under its banner than they did the time before. There's still a fair bit of assessment to do.
Before you go, Professor, you know, the military has alleged voter fraud, refuting the process of last year's election in November, which Aung San Suu Kyi's party swept. Do you think those concerns could have been easily allayed? Access to voter names, for instance. Is there anything that the Union Election Commission could have done to avoid what we're seeing today?
Unfortunately, you forced me to look at the other side of the world and allegations of voter fraud there. And it's difficult not to think of that at the same time as this. Those allegations are equally poorly based. So it's a question of how you confront people with the news that there was an election. It was conducted with professional observers present, and large numbers of people in the Myanmar community were there too. And there is no evidence of voter fraud. There's as little evidence of voter fraud there as there was in that other country, which I haven't named. So it's a very curious situation to look at, and it's going to provide a lot of confusion for people as they look at it. I think that the international community broadly will say this was a free and fair election. Yes, there might have been some irregularities, but as the commission itself has said, not sufficient to change the result of the election.
Professor Lam, earlier our correspondent... earlier our correspondent said that the military in Myanmar were not actually refuting the outcome but the actual process, and claiming that there was irregularity to the tune of 10 million votes. But at the end of the day, you know, what difference would that actually make in terms of the outcome of the election? Because, I mean, it sounds a bit contradictory. If they're going to claim the process was irregular but they're not refuting the outcome, it's very, very confusing, particularly for those voters in Myanmar. And also, under the Constitution, the military have sort of guaranteed to them a certain amount of seats and retain power within the parliament. So, I mean, what do they hope to change here? Do they think that they would have won a lot more seats in the last election that would have moved the needle? Because Aung San Suu Kyi and the NLD are hugely popular.
It would have made no difference to the outcome of the election. So you end up coming back, as I said before, as you look a couple of stages down the track of analysis, you come down to personalities and what did they want out of this for themselves. I don't think it's got anything to do with the greater good of Myanmar. I think it's got to do with the good of certain people. And that's why I'm interested to see how the Tatmadaw hold together around this outcome.
Professor Christopher
Lam, around these developments.
Thank you so much for your time and your insights this morning.